Long for Life sorbet chain provided a boost to the group's annual earnings, with revenue hitting the 100 million rand mark for the first time, reflecting a growth of 19%. This saw total revenue surge threefold to 3.6 billion rand, which further translated into a 28% increase in headline earnings per share. Brian Joffe, CEO of Long for Life, joins us on the line now. Brian, thanks so much for your time this evening. So you talk about a solid platform having been laid in order to execute your strategy, and I know this is a strategy for the long term, but I've got to ask, has your strategy shifted at all given the current economic climate and given the short to medium term prospects for the economy?
Well, not really. I think maybe conditions will force us that way, but up until now we've basically concentrated on leisure related activities. But, you know, we're opportunistic. So, you know, if something came along that didn't quite fit that definition and it wasn't in banking or mining, I think we would look at it.
Yep, you've got to adapt in order to survive. Brian, of course, your strategy for now focused on, as you say, the investment in leisure and lifestyle sectors in both the emerged and emerging consumer markets. What sense are you getting of the market you're catering to and where things are at? Do you think that the trough has been hit?
Well, look, I think at the end of the day, we don't have a significant market share in the spaces that we're occupying. So notwithstanding what the economy is looking like, I think we should have enough headroom to be able to grow.
In terms of the sense you're getting for the consumer market you are catering to, though, what's your reading?
Well, I think there are some green shoots around. I think the retail industry seems to be doing a little bit better now, and, you know, notwithstanding that we had some difficulties in March with power, etc. But I think, generally speaking, I think things are looking a little bit brighter. Hopefully, things will even turn out to be very sunny in the periods ahead.
Ryan, it's key because looking at your trading divisions, you've got sport and recreation, beverages and personal care and wellness. I mean, is it spread diverse enough to provide a buffer against tough economic conditions, a weak consumer market where already you are exposed to an extent, I guess, to the seasonality impact with your division seeing more activity in the summer months?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt that people like to spruce up a little more in the summer and spend a little more money and spend time outside in the summer months. But we have to live with that. I mean, that's a fact of the businesses that we're in. But I think that we have got, I think we're in industries that are inclined towards some growth. I think the demographics favor, you know, beauty, if you want to call it, well-being, feeling good. I think that's what people feel like. I mean, you know, people are getting older generally as a population. And so, yeah, I think that we're seeing some of those benefits now, I think.
So in that context, let's evaluate your pricing power. Long for Life's maintained gross profit and trading margins across its businesses. Is that a reflection of Long for Life managing to push higher prices through, or more so tighter corporate cost controls?
Well, I mean, these are average numbers, so, yeah, I think that is more true. I mean, we haven't been able to price upwards. We had to absorb in last year some of the VAT increase. So, yeah, I think that the managements of the various businesses need to be complemented. I think expense control was good, even though I think on average, I think asset management wasn't as good as it could have been. But by and large, I think that we're concentrating on maximizing our returns based in a very difficult market.
You've touched on expanding current lines, increasing your geographic footprint as well. To what extent would scaling activities, realize greater optimization and a better cost imperative down the line?
Well, obviously, in the case of procurement, there would be a bigger share of fixed costs. I mean, head office cost is spread over a smaller amount of stores currently. You know, so I think that if we did manage to scale up and had some geographic expansion, we would have some natural synergies which would manifest itself in the numbers.
This with your model based on a decentralized entrepreneurial philosophy. You provide the necessary capital to support organic growth within your businesses. How are you rating entrepreneurial spirit in South Africa right now?
Well, now, South Africa has generally done very well as entrepreneurs. If you just have a look at some of the South African corporates that have done well internationally, I mean, the old SAB and many others, I think South Africa naturally has got great entrepreneurs. I think the new upcoming generations, I think, are showing some skill set, which I think is going to be good for South Africa in the medium term. But, you know, I think it's all up to leadership to motivate entrepreneurship. I mean, it's not just a natural thing that comes. Entrepreneurship also needs capital. And I encourage, you know, South African institutions to make that capital available to smaller and up-and-coming corporates.
Ryan, in the current environment, have you seen any kind of, a shift in the kind of support you're needing to provide for these businesses?
Well, in my view, and it's only my view, I think that South African institutions aren't sufficiently pro-South Africa. I think they're not sufficiently pro-entrepreneurship. I think the model has changed a lot from flair in the institutions to computer-generated answers. And so, from my personal point of view, I think that some of the flair has gone out of our South African institutions, and I think we should put that back, and I think that will help South Africa get out of where it's at more quickly.
Overall, you say you're patient on acquisitions. Does that point to there being just no value propositions or, on the valuable propositions on the table right now, or more so timing in South Africa and, the operating and political climate right now not being conducive to further investment?
Well, we're looking for something more specific. I mean, we're looking for something which is scalable in our hands, something where we can get some kind of benefits out of our operational skill set. We don't want two smaller operations. We don't want to accumulate a whole lot of small, well-priced acquisitions. That's not the objective. The objective is to try and find another field of activity aligned with sport, recreation, beauty, et cetera, et cetera, where we can scale those businesses up and get some real benefit out of them.
That's
so, I think the valuations of, obviously are what they are. People selling want the maximum, people buying want the minimum. So I think that will come into equilibrium at a point in time.
Let's leave it there. Brian, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. And, of course, CEO for Long for Life, Brian Joffe. In the meantime.